I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 27. It's interesting, over the last couple days, actually even last night, someone said, "Pastor, do you know what message that I remember that touched my life in an unusual way and it still affects me today?" And somebody said, "Well, yeah, this message right here touched me and affected me." And but I want to tell you, this message this morning, at least the part of it that I get to preach, should have an impact on all of our lives. Because if there's anything that better be happening in your life today, if you want to be in a right relationship with God, and that's why we do all this, you know. We don't do all this so we can have another club or so we can give somebody something to do on Sunday mornings or have somewhere else to go or go see our buddies and our friends. We do all this because we believe that part of God's plan is that there should be a church. God designs a plan for a church. He said there ought to be a pastor and there ought to be deacons and leadership, and God lays out that design. And then that the church should preach the word without fear or favor of man. And the reason for that is so that you can hear from the captain. We're talking about storms, and this chapter is about storms. And some of you, I look around, and I see a number of you that have been through some storms recently. Patty, biggest storm of your life. Storm you thought was too big for you. You weren't sure you were going to get through that one. Walt, it's good to see Walt in the choir today. Amen. And I wasn't sure Walt would be up in the choir. Wasn't sure if he could manage that or not. But Walt's been through a storm, and I could just go around the room and talk about different storms. But in your storm, you're going to hear a number of voices, and in chapter 27. There are a number of voices that speak out into the lives of those that were on this ship. You hear from the centurion early in the chapter, a Roman centurion, and he has some things to speak into the lives of those that are on the ship. You hear from the owners of the ship about what they're thinking ought to happen with a ship that's caught up in this storm. And by the way, for those of you who haven't been here earlier, if you want to read one of the amazing historical accounts of an ancient storm and sailors and seamen and the things that were going on in that day, you ought to read chapter 27. But the owner of the ship speaks up and he says what he thinks ought to happen. The Apostle Paul speaks up. And he says what he thinks ought to happen. So you got all these voices in the storm. And some of them were good voices. And we're going to find out they should have listened to Paul whenever he spoke the first time. But the main thing is at the end of this story, they hear from the captain. And I want you to look in Acts chapter 27, verse 18. It says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." So they're in a typhoon, or they're in hurricane type winds. This is a calamitous situation. "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, So now they're throwing overboard the rigging. It's so bad that they're thinking, we don't even need the rigging of the ship anymore. We got to get rid of stuff. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been around a storm where it was dark for days and nights? Let me tell you, if you were in Puerto Rico right now, and you hadn't had electricity now for weeks, and water now for weeks, and you don't see any promise or hope of getting it back for weeks or months, or maybe in some places years. It's a dark, stormy day in their lives. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Paul couldn't help himself. I told you. You should have listened to me. Then he says, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, now here's the message from the captain. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So you had all these voices on the ship saying, well, I think we ought to do this. And Paul said, well, you probably ought not to do this. And the sailor said, well, we think that we ought to do this. And the owner of the ship said, hey, it's my ship, and I want you to do this. But at the end of the day, Paul said, let me tell you something, boys. You've all had a lot to say, but if we don't get some help, this old boat's going down. You better hear from the captain. And so here's what the captain had to say. In the first instance, he said, fear not. In the midst of the storm, we have a captain who says about the storm. It's easy to say that about somebody else's storm. It's easy to say, well, that's great for Paul's storm. That's great for storms back in Bible days. But I want to tell you something, dear Christian. We have the same captain. The Bible says that our captain is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His arm is not shortened. His ear is not stopped. All of his ability to deal with storms is the same today as it was back then. And so the first thing I want you to say, he says, fear not. He speaks to the storm. God can deal with storms. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So, if God chooses to, God can look at your storm and say to the storm, peace be still. He has the ability to make the winds and the waves obey him. The psalmist David also said this. If you look back in Psalms, back in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, Psalms chapter 93. And there are a number of examples of this, but for sake of time this morning, I'm going to just share these with you. Verse 1, Psalms 93 says, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherein he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting." Now listen to this. "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever." So, no matter what the storm is, he is mightier than the storm. But let me tell you this. Most of the time, God doesn't speak to the storm. Most of the time, throughout the Bible, throughout your life, throughout my life, God doesn't say to the storm, "Peace, be still," and the storm lay down like a yeller dog in front of a lazy fire. It doesn't work that way. God, most of the time, doesn't speak to the storm. Most of the time, God does what he did in the second instance here in Matthew chapter 27. He said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Oh, so God speaks to the storm in the first instance, "Fear not," but then he speaks to the sailor. And most of the time, God doesn't say, "Peace be still," to the storm. He looks at the sailor and says, "Be still, sailor, and know that I am God." And so we find that here Paul is in the boat. The boat's about to go down. And if God is going to speak to him, why wouldn't he say, "Now, Paul, fear not"? Now, I would encourage you to throw the rigging over. I would encourage you, Paul, to take some ropes and wrap around a ship, because this little wooden boat, it just may break apart. I would encourage you, Paul, at some point to throw the cargo over. I would encourage you, if things get really, really bad, to throw the wheat over, your last of your food. Because what's all that stuff going to matter if this ship that's bouncing up and down like a bobber goes under? God doesn't say anything of that. God says, "Fear not. I got to bring you before Caesar." He said, "Not only am I the captain of the storm, I'm the captain of your situation. I got a situation for you, Paul. You got to go for Caesar." And rather than focusing on all the blowing of the winds and the storm and all of that, he says to Paul, "Hey, Paul, just be still. I'm taking you to Caesar. You got an appointment." And he showed him he was the captain of his situation. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, and I want you to look at the first examples of God looking into our forefathers' lives and telling them to fear not, that he was the captain of their situation. Of course, the first guy we're going to look at is Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 15, all the way back to the front of your Bible, Genesis chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, Abraham had just been in a conflict over his nephew, and so that this storm is going on, and it's going to go on around him, and God doesn't take those storms away from Abraham, but what he does say, he says, fear not, Abraham, I got your situation covered. I'm the captain of your situation. When I look at our church and kind of the roots of our church and the history of our church and the history of my ministry, in some ways goes back to a man named Levi. And so for me, Levi was my Abraham. And God called into West Virginia and to a man who had a multiplicity of circumstances in his life and said, I want you to come out of West Virginia and I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. That's what God told Abraham. And Dad told about wrestling with God about leaving the mountains and leaving his horse. And he had a horse that he loved. He had grew up in a hard circumstance, a rough family, and poverty. They were poorer than Job's turkey, and they just didn't hardly have anything. And Dad said one of his most prized possessions was Jim. And he said he went up to Jim, and he took that horse, grabbed its head, and he said, I planted it. A kiss on his nose, said, Jim, God's got something for me to do. He went to his girlfriend, and they had lived life like kids, boyfriends and girlfriends lived in that day. They weren't serving God. Dad felt the call of God on his life. He went out, pulled along the side of the road, and looked at a young lady that he thought could someday be his wife. And he said, Louise, I've got on the gospel ship. And if you're going to join me, you're going to have to get on the boat and cross over. She said, Levi, I don't think I'm ready for that. And Levi went out, and Louise went back to Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, where she is to this day. But God had a call for Levi. And so Levi went to places that, as a just kind of a pioneer church preacher, planting churches and helping small churches. As a boy, I was born in Lima. We went from Lima to Tennessee, to Rockport, Illinois, to Bloomington, Illinois, and back to Lima, then back to Tennessee. And this is all in the course of probably 10 years. And then to Gettysburg, Ohio. And from Gettysburg to Bradford, Ohio. And so you say, what does Lima, Ohio, Alcoa, Tennessee, Maryville, Tennessee, Rockport, Illinois, Decatur, Illinois, Gettysburg, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Ohio, and Bradford, Ohio have in common? and Centerburg, Ohio, and then Mount Vernon, Ohio, what do they have in common? He was always under the leadership of the captain of his situation. And God said, Abraham, fear not. He said, I'm the captain of your situation. Then turn to Genesis chapter 26. Now we come to Abraham's boy, Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, God's going to speak to the boy. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And God said to the boy, fear not, I'm the captain of your situation. My situation started out in Bradford, Ohio. Well, actually Lima, where it first started. So all those things that I told you about, Dad, those were my early days. But then my situation changed, and I was in Gettysburg, Ohio. And so these things became part of my situation. Baling hay. Say, whoa, you had a really auspicious beginning. Yeah, 25 cents an hour. Baling hay. Dipping ice cream, Baskin Robbins. $1.10 an hour. Working as an overhire at Wright Patt Air Force Base, Fairborn, Ohio. Working as an orderly, Greenville, Ohio. And then there was Hope Sound, Florida. Selma, Alabama. Central South Carolina. Fairborn, Ohio. And then Bradford, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio. And from Cleveland, Ohio, to some obscure place. How in the world does anybody ever find that place? Called Bangs. Do you realize how much of the world doesn't know there is a Bangs? $99.999999 In the words of our great candidate running for president several years ago, 999. But what did all those places have in common? Most of you have never been to half of those places. Most of you don't know where those places are or what was happening in those places. In fact, my wife doesn't even know everything that happened in all those places. What happened in those places stays in those places. You say, what was in common about all those weird places? South America? Various places in Ohio. The common thread through all those places is that Jesus Christ was the captain of my situation. To this day. You say, well, what happens next? I'm not really sure. Last night we had a neat little service, and we were all enjoying ourselves, And our family was there, and the Probonic family was there. We were over at John's house, and they started saying things about how much they appreciated us and what a blessing it was, and what how God had used us in their lives and everything. And I had an epiphany. I was just sitting there. I said, well, glory. I said, I feel like I can go on for another 5 or 7 years. I was so glad Kate was there. She had to give John oxygen, and he fell out on the floor over there. Let me tell you what I know about the next 2 weeks and the next 2 months and the next 2 years. And if God gives me 20 years, I know the captain of my situation. And he will lead me. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go on and tell this. Well, yeah, I will. Genesis chapter 46. I'm at least going to go this far. Look in Genesis chapter 46. So now, we got Abraham taken care of. We got Isaac taken care of. And in chapter 46, verse 1, now, this is the old man Israel. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God, the God of his father, Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So we see God said to Abraham, I'm the God of your situation. And he said to Isaac, I'm the God of your situation. And then he looked at the next generation and said, I'm the God of your situation. I look at some of these young men this morning. Had the privilege of sitting down for a few minutes with Weston. And God's burdening Weston's heart. He feels a clear call to go out and preach the gospel. And it's an exciting thing. And you say, What's going to happen with Weston? What's all Weston's situation going to be? Oh, he just needs to let the captain of his situation lead him. I'd like for John, if you would, come up here. Weston, come up here. Danny, come up here. Pastor Mark, come up here. Joel Hubbard, are you in here? Come up here, son. Brother Rogers, come up here. Anybody else feel the call of God on your life to full-time Christian service? To be a preacher except for my wife? People have gotten a kick out of that. Somebody, I think it was, she wrote a little note about this service, and Dennis White wrote her a note back and said, well, you know, pastor says you don't, you're not a preacher. He said, I think you do some pretty good preaching. I didn't say she wasn't a preacher. I said she doesn't preach here. I didn't say she doesn't preach. I've had a whole lot more messages than I ever wanted to hear. I will tell you, these boys heard more messages than they wanted to hear. There were times they were saying, just whip me. Please, go easy on me. Just whip me. But we look at these young guys, and in a certain sense, I feel sorry for them. Because we're going to throw them to the wolves. These guys are going to have attacks that most of you won't have. The enemy will try to trip them up in ways that he won't try to trip you up. And yet, something in their hearts has been drawn to surrender. Trey, you come up here too, son. I know maybe I might have to be the one to call you, but I believe that God has something special in his plan for Trey. I don't know what it is, but we look at where they're headed, and Danny, come up here a second. I want to do something. Sit down right here. Some of you don't understand this, but there was a day when every Sunday I sat here and Danny sat right there. And this was a very comforting part of my ministry. One of the hardest Sundays of my ministry was a Sunday I came and sat here by myself. And Danny was gone. And Danny's life changed and his circumstance changed. And it wasn't what we wanted and wasn't what he wanted. I took Danny up to my office. We knew that things were never going to be the same again. And I said, Danny, I want to show you something. And I took out a map of the world. And I said, now I want you to look at this map. I took a pencil. And I said, you see this spot right here? This is a spot that you've messed up. I said, the captain's got all the rest of this world out there where he can use you. Why? Because God's the captain of our situation. Some of you are in a storm, and some of you have been through a storm. These young guys, if they, you say, what can you promise these guys right here? These guys that you feel like are like, you want to treat them like your boys. See, when I talk to these guys, I shoot straight. I'm not going to tell them a bunch of baloney. But tell them the truth. Tell them what they're facing. Tell them how God can help them. Say, what can you tell these guys right here? Well, I can tell them adversity is going to come. Devil's going to fight him. But I can also tell them, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. The captain is mightier than the waves. The captain is mightier than the wind. The captain knows the way. So thank you, fellas, for coming up here. The last thing I want to tell you about this thing that the captain said, he said, all lives will be saved. In Hebrews chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says that Christ is the captain of our salvation. So he's the captain of the storm. He's the captain of our situation. And he says, I'll be the captain of your salvation. Of all the things that are important this morning, there is nothing so important as that you know that you know that you know that your heart is right with God. You say, well, I'm really religious. Oh, there's people are religious about everything. People are religious about global warming. People religious about any issue you want to come up with. I can show you religious people. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm asking, do you know that Christ lives in your heart? That you have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? That you have surrendered your life to Christ and said, here I am. Take me. Make me what you want me to be. And our simple way of saying that is I have decided to follow Jesus. I'd like for us to stand together this morning. In this world, some people spit at the storm. Some people shake their fist at the storm. Some people curse the storm. But for those who want to find the way, there's a captain who says, I can lead you. You're going down. I can save you. See, really, there's only two kinds of people in this world. There's lost and found. Christ said, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. So there are those who are lost and those who are sought. He said, you're either lost and I'm seeking you, or you're saved. You're either saved or you're sought. So this morning, closing, we've had a lot of testimonies, a lot of songs. But if you strip all that away and you stand here and it's just you and God, where are you in your relationship with the Lord? I've stood with men and women as they were taking their last breath. And, of course, I was concerned about their health and their needs, but the first thing I always want to ask them is, what is your relationship with your Maker? Soon you will stand before God. And what can you say to know that everything is clear between you and your God? And at the end of the day, there's only one thing you can say. You could say, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So my question today is, do you know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I wonder if there are those here who would say, Preacher, God is speaking to my heart today. This is one of those days where the waters are troubled. When you sense that God is dealing with hearts, the Holy Spirit is speaking. And when the waters are troubled, you ought to obey God. And if you're here and you'd say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart in the service today. And maybe you're here and you'd say, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ my Savior. But God put his finger on my life about some things. And I'd like for you to pray for me and pray with me. And I'd just like to openly acknowledge that with no one looking around. If you're here like that, would you slip your hand up? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those. Anybody? Yes, God bless you. I have a second question. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have not trusted Christ as my Savior. I have not asked Christ to come into my heart. And God is speaking to my heart today about my need to do that. If you're here like that, would you just slip your hand up unashamedly? This won't save you, but says, God's speaking to my heart. I want to be saved. I want to know. If you're here like that, would you just slip your hand up and hold it up so I could see it? Just hold it up. Yes, God bless you. I see that. Somebody else. I see that hand. Somebody else. God's speaking to my heart. Let me just tell you this. This would be a wonderful day to ask Christ to come into your heart. Surrender your life to Christ and say on this day, I have decided to follow Jesus. And so you mind the Lord. Lindsay, sing a verse of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. I always love it when kids start learning a little bit of spiritual language. I always kid Trey and I spend a lot of time together traveling. He's in a public school and Trey's got a lot of energy and it's just like he can't hardly sit still, and he's hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba-da. And I said, well, I said, I might do that from a platform, Trey. I said, I think that might really create a little interest if I'd get up and do a little bit of that in the platform. He said, Papa, I said, would you do that? Where is Trey? Trey, we spent a lot of time doing that traveling to Delaware, didn't we? We'd be sitting there riding along before too long. Trey'd be... So I'd say, oh, and so We hubbada hubbada our way to Delaware. But thank God for what he has done in the service today, what he's going to do. I know that apparently there's some other things going on today. And the old boy over there saying, "Get out of the way, Dad!"
Take your Bibles and turn to...
Yeah.
That was just funny. That was like, I want to give you...
That'd be funny if it was a joke.
Hey, did our pastor not preach a wonderful God-ordained message today? It was... Praise the Lord. I want to give you a few announcements important that will be very helpful for the coming hour. If you would, we all want to spend time together, but if you would do that at the NAS at Ariel Arena, okay? So we want you to go immediately when we end here and go to Ariel Arena, find a seat. There's a few reserved seats, but just anywhere that you find an open table and find a seat and get situated. If you would do that as soon as we end here. And by the way, it will probably be more of a mass exodus than usual, and a lot of young families run to the cars, so just be real, keep an eye open for children dashing in and out. And then this is important. We have a catered meal that we have provided, but we started sign-up sheets many, many weeks ago, and we are at maximum capacity for the amount of food. And so the meal is going to start right about 1:15. However, if you're here today and you did not sign up for the meal, and we're going to be making some special presentations and have some pretty neat things we want to share. So that is going to start about probably 2:15, 2:30 after the meal. And the room is large, and there will be enough room on the perimeter for you to come in. So if you're part of our church family and it didn't work out for you to be part of the meal, we'd still like for you to come and be a... Yeah, and if you're not part of the church family, anybody who's in this building, we want you to come. So so just keep that in mind, that we're at max capacity on the food, but please come. You could go and grab something quick and then come over for the special presentations. I'd encourage you to park in the back behind the arena. That's probably going to be your best bet to get up there. There's an elevator for those that need it, and I believe it's operational, so keep that in mind. And then when you go in, just go to your seat and wait, and then we're going to come in, and we're going to give you some instructions before we get into the buffet line. So we're gonna give you some announcements, then we're going to pray, then we'll send you on out to get into the buffet line. So that is everything. We'll see you guys in a few minutes. Love you. You're dismissed.